Sing about. Amen? Amen. Hey, have your Bibles with you this morning. Find your place in the book of Matthew in the 5th chapter. And if you're new with us, you can just kind of mark your place there. We're in the Sermon on the Mount, and we're just kind of walking through this verse by verse and discovering this great sermon, not just because of the context of the sermon, but because of the one who preached it. Jesus Christ. These are the words straight from his lips. There was a Richie Incognito and Jonathan Martin. They were teammates of the 2013 Miami Dolphins. Now, when you think about teammates and you think about players on the same team, we tend to think about teamwork, camaraderie. We think about helping each other and all those kind of things, having each other's back. Not so for these guys. These guys hated each other. In fact, Richie Incognito harassed and bullied Martin so much, called him a racial slur on a voicemail. All the media outlets were covering it, ESPN, all the sports things, threatened even to kill him and his family. Now think about that. These are teammates. These guys had every reason to be on the same side. They play on the same team. They had the same head coach. They were both offensive linemen. They were on the line together. They both played on the same side of the line. They were both on the same side, right next to each other. Both were starters. They both wanted to win. They both wanted to win a Super Bowl. They were both big dudes, strong. And listen, they were both millionaires. They had every reason in the world to get along. And yet there was this hatred and this animosity there. Now what does that have to do with you and I this morning? Well, think about it. We're all on the same team. We're all in the same church. We all serve the same Lord and Savior. We all want to see our friends and our family come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, right? We all want to see the lost saved, and we want to grow in our relationship with God. We all want a lot of the same things. And listen, we're all blessed. Man, we all have the same Heavenly Father. And God's blessed us, and we're all rich in His grace and His mercy. And yet today, man, we see such animosity and bitterness and just downright hatefulness sometimes in the church and among God's people. And so this morning, one of the most important passages about relationship we find here in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 21. Now, last week, Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law, but I came to fulfill the law, right? Remember we talked about that? And then he begins this series of about six statements here. You've heard it said, but I say. He says, here's what the law said. You think that I came to destroy the law? No, I came to fulfill the law. Because here's what the law says, but here's what I say. Okay? So we're going to kind of get into these statements. And so this first statement that he says here in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 21, he says this. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder. And whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Agree with your adversary quickly while you are on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge. The judge hands you over to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. Assuredly, I say to you, you will by no means get out of there till you have paid the last penny. And so Jesus addresses the very root of our relationships with one another. It's a great passage here that speaks of our relationships that we have with other people and how our relationship with others are actually a reflection of our relationship with God. We need to understand this morning. You cannot be in right relationship with God and not be in right relationship with other people. And that if you're not in right relationship with other people, then you're going to have a problem with God, okay? And so we're going to spell this out a little bit this morning. So notice, Jesus says, "You've heard it said, but I say." He's not quoting authority. Jesus Christ is the authority. He is the last word. You know, when your mom or your dad would tell you something, and you would say, "Why?" And they would say, "It's because I said so." That's right. Jesus said, "I said so." This is what the sermon about murder have to do with me. It has everything to do with you. It has everything to do with you. It speaks to the basis of our relationship. And so notice, first of all, I want you to see the law's teaching on murder. Jesus said, "You've heard it said that you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment." He's talking about the very written law. Exodus chapter 20 says, "Thou shalt not kill," right? That's the law. That's what it says. And so they were taking the letter of the law. You shall not murder. Now, it seems that we're living in a day where we're seeing a surge of murders, right? I mean, listen. I mean, this is small town Vicksburg, right? And listen, just this morning on the news, we had another young man was killed last night. Somebody else was shot. They didn't die, but they were shot. Yesterday, somebody was stabbed, you know. We hear this and we see this in our community. And it's troubling to us, right? It shakes us. And we get afraid sometimes to even go outside. And listen, we need to understand that the statistics reveal that most murders are crimes of passion. They're caused by anger among friends or relatives. Now listen, murder is nothing new. The fact that we're reading it in the Bible tells us that it's been around a long time, right? In fact, it was one of the first crimes right after Adam and Eve had sinned in the garden. It was one of the first crimes recorded in the Bible when Cain killed his brother Abel, right? And so murder's been around a lot longer than guns or knives or any kind of weapon. But so we see this. We see this even in Scripture. I read an online article of tracking the homicides in Chicago. And just the other day, in Chicago, they recorded their 330th murder of the year. We're on day 211 of the year. That's over a murder a day. That's almost two a day, okay? So it's part of our society. It's the world that we live in today. And yeah, we all agree killing folks like that is crazy. And by the letter of the law, we all agree that murder is wrong. And it's appalling to us. It troubles us. But Jesus is telling them, and he's telling us, that we've had this very narrow view of murder. We've kind of had this straightforward view of murder. In the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 20, in Deuteronomy chapter 5, talks about murder. And it refers to this premeditated, deliberate, intentional murder. Not something accidental, but intentional. Webster defines murder, says that murder is the crime of unlawfully killing a person, especially with malice or forethought. So murder shows contempt, not only for the people, but it also shows a contempt for God. Because God is the giver of life. And when we take life, it's not just offensive to that person, it's offensive to God. And so these Pharisees, these very legalistic, law-abiding Pharisees, took this straightforward, narrow view of murder and applied it to their society, like most of us. But Jesus says, "You've heard it said, thou shalt not murder. But I say, but I say. So it's not just important for us to understand the law's teaching on murder. Notice then the Lord's teaching on murder. He says, but I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Now, this is a really key verse here, okay? So we're going to try to break it down a little bit. Jesus said that in God's sight, it was not only the man who committed murder that was guilty, but even the man who was angry at his brother in his heart was guilty of the judgment. Let that soak in this morning. We all deal with anger. As troubled as we are about murders in our society and in our city, Jesus is equally troubled, more troubled than we are, about the anger that's in our hearts. That's where Jesus looks at. Jesus examines the heart of man. See, we think that he forbids angry or being angry at other people. I want you to understand this. Bible talks about a time when Jesus went into the temple and they were in there selling things, you know, and profiting off of the temple. And the Bible says Jesus got angry and he overturned the table, right? Remember the money changer's table? He turned it over. There's another passage in Scripture in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 17. He calls the Pharisees blind fools. So Jesus dealt with anger. He expressed anger. Even in Mark chapter 3 and verse 5, he criticized those who were criticizing him for healing on the Sabbath. And so it's not necessarily that he says that anger in and of itself is the problem. He's saying how we react to that anger. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26, it says this, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. So Scripture says, be angry, just don't sin. The anger that Jesus is talking about, we can be angry at situations. We can get angry about injustice. We can get angry about circumstances in our life. But it's the personal anger and vindictiveness that we take out on each other that Jesus is warning us about. Listen, I get angry. I get angry when situations come up in my life and I can't control them. And sometimes that anger kind of goes over onto the people, but it's not that I'm angry at the person, I'm angry at the situation. And so I have a hard time sometimes trying to manage that, right? Am I the only one like that? Come on now, don't leave me hanging up here. So listen, so what Jesus is warning us about is being angry, having this vindictive anger towards one another, having malice towards one another, even in our heart. So in our text, the Greek word here for anger, it's a designation of the sinful disposition of one person towards another person. It's making that matter personal. Not only the act, but even the thought and the word places humans under God's judgment. It places us in danger of destruction. So here was something which was entirely new. I mean, these Pharisees, they were followers of the law. They were law-abiding citizens. They had never murdered anybody in their life. Yet, they hadn't crucified Jesus at this point, okay? But they're law-abiding citizens. And they felt like that they were above and that they were holding the law. But Jesus said it's not just in the act, it's in the heart of people. It was Jesus' teaching that it was not enough to not to commit murder, but it was to love. Listen, we could all say, well, I hadn't killed anybody. No, but man, we've sure been angry and we've sure hated, right? So look at this verse again. In verse 23, I want to break it down for us. Jesus describes here this sinful experience. And it kind of goes into stages, if you will, okay? This anger builds, and that anger then leads to murder. The murder, it has to start somewhere. Where does that murder start? That murderous act starts in the heart of people. And when you examine the heart, you realize just exactly where that seed is planted. So notice what he says here in verse 22. In the first part of that, he talks about this causeless anger. He says that, but I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause, they just angry. They don't really have a good reason. They're just angry. A lot of you know my father-in-law, Brother Mickey, that pastored here some 30 years ago. Brother Mickey kind of retired, and he did some interim work and filled in some places here and there. And he was invited to come back to a church that he had pastored previously, like 40, 50 years ago, like when Rhonda was just a little baby. He went there, he was there for a few months, and there was a lady in the church that had quit coming. She was there all the time, and she just quit coming. And so some of the deacons went to her and said, hey, we've been missing you. Where you been? She said, well, as long as Brother Mickey's there, I'm not coming back. And they said, oh my goodness. She said, when he was here before, he did something that made me mad, and I'm not coming back while he's there. It had been 50 years. They said, well, what did he do? She said, I don't remember. But I'm still mad. Isn't it much easier to laugh at somebody else than at ourselves? Think about it. Man, we get angry and we get bitter. And sometimes we don't even remember why. It doesn't even matter. And then notice what he says. He says, you get angry without cause, and you'll be in danger of death. And then whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger. So now that seed that was planted in your heart, now you begin to verbalize it. Now you begin to talk, and you say stuff to other people. It's this, have you ever said something, and you say it, and it gets about right there? And you think, you wish you could grab it and get it back, and it's already out there, right? You've said something in a reaction, you've said something out of anger, and you say it, and it's out there, and you can never take it back. And that leads then to that progression. And then notice he goes on to say, he says, and then you'll be in danger of the council, and whoever says you fool shall be in danger of hell fire. These words, that there's fuel that's added to that. You fool, you rebel. And so Jesus here condemns this angry contempt and all of its cousin, all the animosity and all of the malice and all of the hostility, all of the meanness, all of the wrath. Jesus condemns all of that because that's where the murder starts. It starts in our heart. Starts in our attitudes. Now, notice also the progression here of the punishment. He says, those that they're angry without a cause. He says then that you'll be in danger of judgment. Whoever says of his brother, Raca, you'll be in danger of the council. And then whoever says you fool should be in danger of hell fire. So it's not only, it's the fact that as you progress in this sin, you progress in the consequences of those sins until it leads to hell. That's the danger of this. This is the real warning that Jesus is giving us. Judgment means that you're just guilty. Counsel means that it's made public. Everybody knows that you're angry. But then there's hellfire. That's the eternal punishment. And so it's this progression that we follow. And so it's not enough for us just not to hate. It's the fact that he calls us then to love. Notice in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 9, it says this: he who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. And then in 1 John chapter 3 in verse 10, notice this. 1 John chapter 3 in verse 10, it says this: in this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifested. Here's how you know the difference in the children of God and the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of this wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. And whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. In the heart. Man, when we look and disregard on others, that's not love. It's not just enough that we don't hate them. The Bible calls us to love them. In Matthew chapter 15, Matthew in the 15th chapter, in verse 18, I'll call your attention here. Matthew 15, in verse 18, he says, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man." God looks at our heart. We want to look good on the outside. We want to get dressed up. We want to present ourselves. But Jesus looks at our heart. He said, it's not what's on the outside that's defiling us. He said, it's what's on the inside that's defiling us. It's the hatred, it's the animosity, it's the anger that's within us that defiles us. Anger is such a foolish thing. It makes us destroyers instead of builders. God's called us to encourage one another. God's called us to bear one another's burdens. God's called us to pray for one another. God's called us to edify and to build up one another. In Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 9, it says this, "Do not be quickly provoked in your spirit, for anger resides in the lap of fools." Anger is that close. I mean, look, you think, man, I'm the happiest person in the world. Yeah, you'd be the happiest person in the world until you get to the checkout stand at Walmart. And all of a sudden, you just transform, right? Right? Road rage, yeah, man. Somebody just turned the wrong way in front of you. It's crazy out there, right? So I want you to hear me this morning. I know we got people watching online. I know we got people right here in town listening on the radio. In this city that we're living in, this county that we're living in this society, in this world that we're living in, what we are experiencing today is not a political problem. It's not a gun problem. It's a heart problem. It's a heart problem. Now, listen, I think it's crazy. I think there's people got guns out there that don't need guns. I think that's all a crazy, whole different thing. But I'm telling you, at the root of it, it's in the heart of man. And until the heart of man is changed, it'll never get any better. And listen to me, church. Man's heart will never be changed through government. God's the only one that can change the heart of man. It's on the shoulder of the church and God's people to share the hope and the love of Jesus Christ that is the only antidote to the bitterness and the anger that the world has put into the hearts of people. And so Jesus says, look, he says, you've heard it said don't murder, but I'm telling you, it's not just about not murdering. It's the fact that God's calling you to love. To love. And so here's where we land this morning. How do we live out the Lord's teaching on murder? Well, he gives us two examples. He says there in verse 23, he says, therefore, anytime you see the word therefore in Scripture, you need to stop and ask yourself, what's therefore, therefore? Okay? And so he says, because based on what I've told you, therefore, this is how you should live, okay? Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Agree with your adversary quickly while you are on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge. The judge hands you over to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. Assuredly, I say to you, you will by no means get out of there till you have paid the last penny. And so Jesus uses two examples here. First of all, he points to our relationship with God. He says, when you come to worship, if you're going to come and worship me and be in right relationship with me, and you realize that you're not in right relationship with your brother, you better get that fixed first. You need to get that fixed first. Listen, if you're at odds with somebody, I don't care how much you worship. I don't care how much you go to church. It'll never be right. You can't go to church enough to make it right with somebody else. You have to go to them first. Worship does not offset our wrong relationships. Righting our relationships makes our worship right. We think sometimes we can just come to church. Man, if we come to church and sing loud enough, jump high enough, and act holy enough, then everything will work out. No. The reason that your worship is empty, the reason that your prayer life is empty, the reason that you're reading God's Word and you're not getting anything out of it, the reason that you think this whole thing is empty is because you're not in right relationship with your brother. And until that gets right, none of this is ever going to be right. In Psalm 66 and verse 18, it says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. Yeah, you ever had prayer time and just think, Lord, are you listening to me? Maybe the reason that he's not listening to you is because there's this hatred or this animosity, this anger that you have against somebody else. And until we get that right, we're not going to be in right relationship with God as well. So Luke 19 and verse 8 says this. When remember those stories, Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. Climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. The Lord came by and said, Zacchaeus, come down, for I'm going to your house today. Right? When Zacchaeus met Jesus, he got his heart right. And when he got his heart right, Zacchaeus said this in verse 8, Luke chapter 19, verse 8. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. Zacchaeus said, you know what? If I'm going to be right with God, I need to get right with everybody else. All those people I've swindled out of money, all those people that I've overtaxed, all those people that I've done something wrong to, I need to get that right. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28, it says this, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Man, we come to the Lord's house, and we partake of the Lord's supper, and we've got anger and bitterness and animosity in our heart, we're not partaking of the Lord's Supper properly. It goes back to our heart. And so he says, first of all, we got to get our hearts right, because our relationship with other people affect our relationship with God. And then he gives a second example involving other people. Hey, listen, we've all heard sin costs you more than you want to pay, take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, right? Hey, anger will do the same thing. Anger will cost you. Listen, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 7. Now therefore, it is already an utter failure for you that you go to law against one another. Why do you not rather accept wrong? Why do you not rather let yourself be cheated? No, you yourselves do wrong and cheat, and you do these things to your brethren. He says, you're going to court with one another, and you're suing each other, and you're trying to disrupt each other. He said, it's better that you would be wrong than to try to make it right even. Listen, you might be this morning saying, well, I don't hate anyone. Well, I've never taken anybody to court. The bottom line is, though, do you love them? Do you genuinely love them? Romans 13 and verse 8 says this, owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who has love of another has fulfilled the law. Jesus said, you heard it said, don't murder. But I say to you, if you're angry with your brother, you're in danger of the judgment. And so, how do we really fulfill the law? We fulfill the law by loving one another. Here's a great verse. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 23 says this, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. Isn't that good? That's where it starts, right? But that's not where the verse ends. He says, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us. Just as he loved us, we're to love others. But preacher, they're unlovable. Guess what? So are you. None of us deserve the love of God. God's love is free and unconditional. And that's how we're to love others. See, we want to take the letter of the law and say, well, I'm following the letter of the law. Jesus says, but I'm telling you, I'm examining your heart. I'm examining your heart. And that's where we're in danger, is in our heart. Listen, if you have Christ's righteousness, not only will you not murder, but you'll also develop hearts that love people. That love people. And I know people just like, I know some people, they have this attitude, the world would be a good place if we just didn't have so many people. You know? The only problem I have are other people, right? Some of us have those kind of attitudes. No, the reality is that God created us, and God created us for relationship. God created us to be in relationship with Him, and God created us to be in relationship with one another. And that's hard. That's difficult sometimes, right? But when we have the righteousness of God living in our heart, and we understand how God loves us unconditionally, then if we want to be like Christ, then we in turn love unconditionally as well. This morning, I want you to know, above all else, that God loves you. God's not mad at you. God's not angry with you. God loved you so much that He sent His Son to die on a cross for your sins. And God wants you to know that love, and God wants you to share that love as well. Amen? Let's pray this morning. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning, have you ever come to that point and place where you really realize that there's a God who loves you and cares about you? Maybe this morning, for the first time in your life, you would just say to Him, God, thank you for loving me. And God, this morning, I want to begin a walk with you. God, I want you to forgive me. God, I want to begin to walk in a love relationship with you. Would that be your desire this morning? Maybe for some this morning, you've trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior. But maybe this morning, that relationship, there's a struggle there. You're trying to figure it out. Maybe there's something there. Maybe there's some unforgiveness. Maybe there's some bitter. Maybe there's just some anger there. Maybe this morning you want to just lay it before Him and say, God, here it is. God, I'm going to give it to you today. God, I'm forgiving. God, I'm loving. God, I'm putting that aside. And God, today I just want to be in right relationship with them. And I want to be in right relationship with you. That be your prayer today? Father God, this morning, we love you and we praise you. God, we thank you for the morning. God, we thank you for the truth and the power of your word. God, what a challenge it is to us. God, to live in holiness. God, to live apart from anger and bitterness, animosity. God, we live in a world, God, where it just seems like people are angry. God, they're just living with a chip on their shoulder. God, just looking for an opportunity to explode. And God, we know today that Jesus Christ is the only answer. Jesus Christ is our only hope. And God, I pray that we can be examples of the love of Christ. God, I pray that the world will know that we're your disciples and that we love. God, today. God, I pray this morning. God, for individuals who have never come to a point, place in their life, God, where they've trusted you as their Lord and Savior. God, I pray this morning that they would hear, God, of your love and your grace and your mercy and your willing to forgive. God, today they would come to a place of salvation. God, come to a place in their life where they give up all that they understand about themselves to all that they understand about Christ Jesus. And so, Father, this morning, we give you this invitation time. God, this morning, as we examine ourselves, God, have your own way right now. God, we'll be sure to give you the praise. And we ask you all this in Christ's name. This morning we're going to stand, we're going to sing an invitation song. This invitation is for you. It's an invitation that God calls for you to come to salvation. It's an invitation that we give here. If you're looking for a church home, man, we'd love to have you right here at Trinity. We'd invite you to come, be a part of our family and the work here. This morning it's an invitation to come. Our prayer altars are open. Maybe you want to just come this morning and pray. Pray for someone, pray for yourself. You come this morning. As we stand and as we sing, you come right now.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou biddest come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come.
Hey, turn to the person next to you. Tell them that you love them this morning. Amen? Hey. For some of you husbands and wives, it's the first time you've done that in ages, right? Amen. Hey, listen, thank you. Thank you. I praise God for you being here today. Hey, listen, I just want to say thank you. Looking forward to this afternoon. I hope you'll come celebrate with us. Thank you for the ladies that have prepared all of this today. Next Sunday is our actual anniversary. And so we didn't know if we were actually going to make it to the actual day or not. So we moved it up a week just in case. I think we're going to be good. I don't think she can get the paperwork filed and everything this week. But no, seriously. It's a great, great opportunity to celebrate. I appreciate that and look forward to sharing that with you today. Again, thank you for watching online. Thank you for listening on the radio today. Thank you for being here with us today. So today, 3 o'clock, we'll be together. And then at 5 o'clock, we will have our small group time. So for those of you that are wondering, at 5 o'clock, we will have our small groups meeting then. And so come be a part of that as well. Okay? All right. Hey, man, we had some good worship this morning. Amen. Amen. Hey, didn't these guys do good? These ladies do good? Awesome. God we serve. Amen. What an awesome God we serve. We're going to sing it as well with my soul on our way out. My prayer this morning is that it can be well with your soul this morning. Amen. Let's sing this morning.